Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and worship you. We thank you for your goodness and your love. And Lord, I pray you would just anoint our time together, that we'd have a greater understanding how you're working in our lives and how we can walk with you. And Lord, that your loving hand are wrapped around us at all times. We have your special attention. So God, I pray you just anoint me. I just speak things of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would just move in a powerful way. Each heart would be open in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to turn to 1 John. We're going to spend most of the time here in 1 John. And as I mentioned, the last few weeks, we kind of been looking at James. And I said, you know, James is kind of like a book of Proverbs for the New Testament. It kind of, you know, we talk a lot about who we are in Christ and the power of Christ working through us and stuff, which is all absolutely true, and that's the focus of the gospel and stuff. But James kind of gives us some proverbs. Say, okay, this is kind of the things you ought to understand, that, you know, walking with Christ, this is how, you know, you should be thinking and things. So it's a challenging there. Well, 1 John, in my opinion, is kind of similar. There's a lot of just like, okay, this is how things are flowing in your walk each day. This is to help you understand how you face the world head on. Not that the other doesn't help you face the world, but it gets a little bit more specific, and sometimes a little same as James kind of gets a little convicting, like, boy, just, you know, like, you shouldn't do this. You know, it's like, ooh, okay. But we're going to look at 1 John and see how he approaches this. And it's always fascinating. You look at Paul, who wrote, you know, like three quarters of the New Testament. Then you look at Peter, just how consistent it flows with Paul. And then even James, we saw James that when you look at it closely, it just totally complements what Paul was saying, you know. And so all through this. So now we're looking at the Apostle John and what he says. And then the books of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, most people agree that they were written much later than the other books of the Bible, probably, you know, 85 to 90 A.D., and that John lived longer than the rest of the apostles. So just some little information there. But that's what it says in John 1:1. And he is writing to the churches, probably the churches that he founded, but he's writing to his churches. John 1:1 says that, again, he's talking to his churches, the people he has talked to. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now, John is like, and we know what he is saying, it's like, I knew Jesus. It's not like, I didn't hear about him. I knew him, I saw him, I touched him. You know, my eyes saw him. There was an experience of being with Jesus, and so he's communicating that experience with him and what the Lord has taught him in that. But I want to also say this, and listen carefully, this should also be our experience. It really should be our experience also. It's like, heard him, seen him, touched him. That should be our experience. That's what you mean, I should actually touch his flesh? No. But what John is saying is that he experienced who Jesus was, encompassed all of who he was, and it was very real to him. And so we also should have, and when we come to know Christ, we should have a point where can put our arms around him. It's almost, we could touch him, we hear him. It is so intimate and real that it feels almost physical. Okay, so there is an experience. It's not, oh, this is what I believe, and you believe that, and I believe that, and go. No, we can't do that. No, we've had an experience with Christ, and people can't talk us out of it. See, you can't talk us out of it, you know. Nobody can talk me out of the fact that Linda is my wife. I don't care how smart, you just can't do it, you know. No, that's just, I don't care how long, you can't talk me out of it. Well, that should be our relationship with Christ. See, it's like, no, you can't. There's not any words that can talk me out of it, because the encompassing and coming to know Christ, it was an experience where I received him, or I gave his heart to me. You know, there was something happened when I came to know Christ. And I'm talking to all believers. You know, you can't just, oh yeah, I heard a story, you know, when I was three. No, there's something else has got to happen. So I think that's important in this introduction that we see when he's talking to these people, he's bringing them back. He is the one who shared the gospel with them and left it. He said, wait a minute, you know what you believed. You know, I saw, you know, that, you know, what happened to you, that you changed, you received Christ. Now there's other people come in that don't believe or just don't have that. And when I say experience, it's not, I mean, you know, light shining up, but I mean, there was something happened to your heart. You embraced Christ. And so he's identifying, and that's one where you can separate those from the people who don't embrace Christ. Okay? They can come up with all sorts of things and give you all sorts of reasons, and you're just going, no. Okay, y'all with me? So that's why he's writing to these people, because, you know, there's some other people don't believe that. So the reality of Christ, and I think Psalm 66, verse 16, kind of speaks to our heart on what this means for each individual. In Psalm 66, 16, it says this, and it's like something each of us as believers can say. It says this, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. See, that's witnessing. You know, you witness, you well tell about Jesus. You witness. Let me tell you what he did about my soul. What he did with my soul. And the refrain from the song, let me tell you about my Jesus. The refrain, see, let me tell you about my Jesus. That's the witness. Not to tell somebody about a Jesus. No, let me tell you about my Jesus. It's ours. It's personal, you know. And therefore, we stand strong on that because we have met, talked to him, and embraced him, okay? It's not an intellectual argument somebody can talk us out of. So he's done something for our soul. There's been a connection somehow. And with this reality of salvation, and here we get, this is where John just kicks this off, you know, and in this reality of this salvation, of embracing Jesus, okay, like that, whenever that was, then it says with that reality, Jesus moves us to walk in the light. So when it says walk in the light, okay, that's because we've embraced Jesus. You know, we know who he is. And because of that relationship, we walk in his light. Amen? Y'all with me? So all that ties real closely together, I see. And so it jumps in. These people already have the salvation message. You know, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins. You were forgiven. You know, so John doesn't, well, he does, but he doesn't do a lot of repeating it. So what he goes on to tell them, now he tells the people in this verse, in verse 5, John 1, 5, the message we have from Jesus. Now this is John saying, this is the message we have from Jesus. All right, John 1, 5. This is the message we have heard from him. Now that him should be capital H-I-M, okay? This is the message we heard from Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I mean, that's something, isn't it? In God is light and there's no darkness. Just right there. Just huge disparity that's going on. God is light and there's no darkness in him. Well, it's like, well, my sister did this. I wasn't going to bring her up, but she would always say, well, you know, always, she says, Jesus, he did some things wrong. He did one thing wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. You can't say that. You can't. And she just, anyway. And it was not, well, how come, you know, she'd go with that, and I think she's overcome that. But how could that be? Because he's God, and in him is no darkness at all. It can't coexist. Cannot coexist, okay? That's the reason Jesus behaved as he did, is a reflection of God and who he was. So you see them, you want to know what the light is and understand, you have to turn and see what God says. And that's the reason when people add to what God says, there's a real possibility they can bring darkness into it, or shades of gray, or whatever. You know, so you want to stick closely to the Word. So, and that's the message. He said, listen, guys and gals, here's the message we proclaim. We heard it from Him. We proclaim it to you. God is light. There's no darkness. So whatever you're, the info you're getting that's bringing in this darkness and confusion, says it's not, He has nothing to do with that. Let's start there. So it's how we view God and how we perceive Him is how we move forward. And there's another Psalms that kind of really fits into this, I like, or half of it. And it's Psalm 36:9. So we proclaim that God is light, and being transformed, we walk in His light, right? And Psalm 36:9 says this, in God's light, we see light. Now think about it. In God's light, we see light. Now, so you won't have somebody, I want you to see the light. You know, let me give you all these facts, and, you know, let me get off this, and let me go this, and go the. No, when you're in Jesus, when you're in God's light, you see light. See, that's how you see light. That's how you understand. You get in God's light. I think of how I came to know the Lord, and I won't go into whole detail, but the Lord answered prayer, and I thought, God, you did that? I want to know who you are. See, what happened, I didn't know anything, but right in that piece, I was in God's light, and I said, there's light here, and I went to the light. You see what I mean? So you have that choice. And say, but it's like in God's light, we see light. I can't see the light. Well, if you come in God's light, you would see the light. See, so you have to make a decision for that, or understand that that's what's happening. Now, so here's the message. And it's simplicity, the simplicity of it, he's talking here. God is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. Now this is where we get into some interesting things that, you know, and I have people tell, maybe people have to tell you, and we're staying right here in 1 John. So, well, this person, you know, they say they're a Christian, and they do this and this, and they say this is okay, and God, they do this, and it seems like God's blessing them, and, you know, they don't agree with the Bible, what it says here, and, you know, they're making a lot of sense. You know, it's like, well, they say they're a Christian, but they're not acting like it. John addresses this. John addresses this, and he says this, John, 1 John 1:6, and if we say we have fellowship with Him, God, I have fellowship with God, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Well, that wasn't kind. Man, what about their poor feelings? And, you know, I mean, that just brings somebody to tears. And John's going, no, that's the truth. You know, somebody says they have fellowship, but they don't walk, and they walk in darkness, they're lying. They're lying. Now, I don't know if that'd be the best evangelistic verse to lace on somebody, but you know it's true, you know. No, we don't have to do that. This is just the way we live, and God's fine with it. God says they're lying. It's a lie. So He's bringing it to the point, and again, He's bringing it to the point, you know, think, well, I won't go tell so-and-so. No, what He's doing, He's bringing it to our point that we realize what's going on. What's going on? That's what He's trying to let us know. This is what's going on and happening in the body, and you need to realize this, you know, so you don't get off half-kilter. Well, you know, they're really smart, and maybe we should do that, and maybe that. It's like, no, you don't. That's a lie. Y'all with me? So that's really important. And so if we claim to have fellowship with God while walking in darkness, we're lying. And if they do it, they're lying, and it's like, okay, you just understand what's happening. Amen? So again, He's helping the church not to get wrapped around the axle and all confused about what's happening around. That's what He's trying to do. So, and now understand what this is. Walking in darkness it's not an occasional sin. Okay, it's like, oh God, hollered at the kids this morning. I'm walking in darkness. No, you can get out of that pretty good. That's not it. No, walking in darkness is not an occasion of sin, but it's a continual, habitual practice of sinning. Continual, habitual practice. So much that you can be identified by that. You're with me? It's habitual, and people will identify you with that lifestyle. See? And so that's what they're saying. And it is a lifestyle. And that's the reason it says we lie. You know, if you say your fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Why? Because you're not practicing the truth. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. So don't, every time you mess up, just think, jeez. You know, no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a lifestyle. Now, walking in the light, now that's walking in darkness, and walking in light is evidence by having fellowship with one another, and knowing the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. So when we walk in the light, it's evidence by having fellowship with one another. Now, I'm going to just be perfectly honest with you like that. It just said, you say you have fellowship with God and you're walking in darkness, so you're lying. You know, I said, well, I have fellowship with God and I'm walking in the light. But it doesn't say that. What does it say? If you walk with your brothers and sisters, you know, you're walking in the light. Well, I don't know if I like all my brothers and sisters, you know. You say, Wallace, you did not say that. No, I love you guys. But it's had a few more people that'd be saying, But that's what it says. You see what I'm saying? It says you need the evidence that you're walking in the light is you have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Why? Because Christ is in them. Christ is in you. You're welcoming each other in Christ. You have the vision of God, and therefore you have fellowship with one another with Christ as the center. See? So it's like, okay, John 1:7. But, from walking in darkness, but if we walk in the light, is God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. It'll get along. Okay? And you get thanks cross, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. See, Jesus has to be the focus and offering, you know, up and confessing to us the grudges and stuff like that, and you cleanse yourself. Oh, communion. Communion. You said, cleanse yourself before you take communion. That's why. See, that's why. And that's the reason I felt prompted to tell that young man's story. Because that's what he said, what are you doing? It's like, I mean, I'm 60 years older than that kid. I don't know what he asked me. Because what are you doing? You know, it's like, anyway. But anyway, the thing of his point of it is always trying to recognize the walking in the light. If there's a walking in the light in our relationship with the Lord, and we're cleansing ourselves before the Lord, we're confessing our sins before him, then we'll walk with one another. Now, I'm walking with the Lord, but they're not. You can't do that. That's them with the Lord. But you have to, in your relationship with the Lord, you move in forgiving and loving because your eyes are focused on the Lord and what he's done for us. How can you not love a brother and sister that Christ died for? He gave his life for them. God, you know, really? Yeah, he died for them. And therefore, you need to love him because God died for him. Y'all with me? And so that here's the whole progress. Now put this in context or we get all askew. He's talking to the church, and where people are coming in and bringing false doctrines, trying to bring in, you know, immorality or falsehoods into the church, and you're trying to deal with it, and you're getting all this information, and he's dealing with that. See, and so that we can be secure in our faith in the church and have a good witness, not judgmental or anything, but we do not know what's going on. Listen, I can walk in with the Lord and I can look this way from one to it doesn't matter. You know, well, no, he's lying. I mean, not telling, but we know that's a lie. Why? Because the Bible just told us that's a lie. See, and so it's to help us in our walk. That's his intention here, and it was really having problems with the church here. Now, so we see here, and I think it's always interesting. It says we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. We could just put a period there, but he doesn't, because he knows who we are. He goes on and said, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Because I know you're struggling with this. He's cleansing because you're not 100% there. Now, this is not pointing the finger. I mean, this so-and-so is irritating me, and if they could get them walking with Jesus and confess their sins, and then we would be better off. That's just, no, it's to me. I have to clean that, my act up, and deal with them and show them love. But I understand the situation. Y'all see what I'm saying? This is not judgmental in the least. And again, he's not at his church. He's someplace else. He's writing them letters. He says, y'all hang in there. You're on the right track. Y'all hang in there. Now, then he goes on to say this. So this is walking in the light. This is a habitual practice of walking with Jesus. This is a lifestyle. Just like being in darkness is a lifestyle. Being in the light is a lifestyle. That your general focus and lifestyle is walking with Jesus. Do you mess up all the time? Yeah, I mess up. But my lifestyle, people, you know, he's one of those believers. He's not perfect, but you know, Jesus is kind of what he focuses. See, it's a lifestyle. People recognize the lifestyle. You see the difference? It's not like, oh, I messed up, I'm not walking in the light. No. You're walking in the light because that's your general lifestyle and your family's, and that's where your heart is, and that's where your focus. Okay? You see, so the lifestyle is important here. Not every time somebody stumbles or messes up. Now, so it says here, I just love the way the Bible unfolds and how they communicates here. It says, so walking in the light is walking with Jesus. It's a lifestyle. Guess what the next verse says? I'm walking with Jesus. This is my lifestyle. However, you're not perfect. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm walking with Jesus. Okay, that's good. But you're not perfect. How do I know? Because verse 8 tells me I'm not. It says this, John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm walking in the light. Just behold me. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What? I mean, it kind of, you're like in a bookend, so both ends. Oh, man, I'm walking in the darkness, I'm done. No, I'm over here. If you say you're perfect, you're done. Right here, I'm in the middle, done. It's like, oh, my God. But it's making the point. It's like, wait a minute. I'm explaining to you how you walk in light, but don't think you have no sin. No, you got lots of things to work on. And if you think you have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We walk in darkness, truth is not in us. And we say we have no sin, truth is not in us. See, he's explaining it. He's explained it to all of us, you know, and what Christ has done and how we are to walk in the light. Now, I have only run across a couple of people that say, I don't have sin. Or, no, I'm not. No, you know. And so it's like, man, you know, that's deception. They're self-deceived. The truth is not in them. Now, talking about us. It's not talking about we need to look at ourselves. This is talking about ourselves. Well, I can do anything I want to. This is not wrong. Don't deceive yourself. See, you said that sin, God said, you know, that's not true. Don't deceive yourself. You know, if you say you don't have any sin, truth's not even in you. See, you got to recognize what's going around you also. Amen? So we're getting this unfolding. Now we get, it's so fascinating here. The dilemma, here's the dilemma. This is for all Christians. Here's the church. This is for us right here. The dilemma is how do imperfect people walk in the light? That's what it is. That's where he's coming from. How do imperfect people walk in the light? Now, he has just told us No one's without sin, so he made us all imperfect. Yeah, just in case you're wondering, I told you up front, you're all imperfect, okay? So how do imperfect people walk in the light? The next verse is probably one of the most refreshing truths God has given us in the Scripture. One of the most refreshing truths, if we grab hold of it, about walking in the light. Now, this is all about walking in the light. Every bit of this. Look at this. John 1:9. All this is stuff. I know I sin. I know I mess up, you know. And I'm I don't want to make a decision. I'm practicing, you know, walking in the darkness. And, you know, I think I'm practicing walking in the light, but I'm doing all this stuff wrong, walking in the light. I keep making all these mistakes. God, how do you work through that? That sounds like a miserable life, isn't it? Like a miserable Christian life. And God says, well, no, it's not miserable. This is what you do. When you're walking in the light, this is what you do. People in the darkness don't walk in the darkness, don't do this. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, what we did wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I just did so and so. Yep. You did. You confessed it. Okay. He's faithful and just. I forgive you, and I'm going to cleanse you. So how do you walk in the light? Confess your sins. Now, all our sins are forgiven, nailed to the cross. But in a daily walking it out, step by step, understanding the Lord in every part of our life, we keep having that relationship with him, and we really mess something up. Oh, God, how will I ever get it out? No, God, I just confess it to you. Lord, you know, take care of that. He goes, okay, I will. I mean, that's what this says. You know, and this is something about people. I'm going to make a point. It's like people living each sin or feel oppressed by past sins or feel trodden down because of old lifestyles or something they did. You know, God goes, why you feel like that? That's you. If you feel that way, you don't understand me. God said, you don't understand me. If that's how you feel, you don't understand me. Because all you got to do is confess it. You confess it, and I'll forgive you. And you'll cleanse you from all righteousness. Why are you carrying that for? But you what? Have to confess. Now, y'all with me? This is huge. How many people do you know, including yourself, nobody has raised your hand, is carrying burdens and trash with them in their whole life? Carry it for their whole life. They just carry stuff. Like, you get weighed down. I was reading a thing, this was a secular journal, and this is what this guy said, 80% of physical illness in the human race was caused by distress, you know, depression, bad thinking, you know. The sickness came from the mind, not from the body. The mind made the body sick. See, and what God says, I can get your mind. You get your mind. Get your mind right, and it'll make your body well if you get your mind right. See, and he's saying the same thing here, and he's saying that stuff and people carrying that around, they're carrying it around. And as soon as they say they're Christians or not, but even a Christian, they're carrying this around. They're carrying it around because they have not grasped what Christ actually did. Oh, they'll claim to believe he died for me, my sins are forgiven, I'll go to heaven when I die, and not just soon it be sooner than later. You know, but no, if you understand what Jesus did, you will not carry it around. See what this says? If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins. If we do what? What we do? Confess it. Oh, he can't forgive me. Have you ever confessed it? Oh, he won't listen. Or I mean, I don't know what. See, no, you confess it. He said, I'll take it. There's something else going on. You know, see, there's something else happening if you're carrying something. But if you understand who Christ is and what he's done, he will remove that because you know Christ has paid the penalty. He will free you up from that. That new song, Adam's a trailblazer. I love that because it covers this right here. And you didn't know I was preaching on this. You snuck in there. Anyway, so we want to look at that. So let's think about this, because everything I said so far centers around this verse right here. So we're walking along in life as believers, okay? We know we are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not messing around with that. But in life, things happen, and we do things wrong, you know? I always say, anybody have kids in here? What a blessing was it ready to get ready for church this morning, you know? I mean, you probably sinned 5 times against your kids before you got to the car. Okay, now the point of it is, it's talking about the walk we have. And it says, so when we fall short in any area, we know we fall short in any area, we need to confess it to God. Oh, God, I wish I said that to them. You know, just take care of that. Show me a way to, you just cleanse, you know, you just, that's the way you walk. You're cleansing one's mind. Now, here's something, and this is really important. You need to write this down because this makes it makes so much sense. The word confess in the original language means to agree. Now, think about that. So, we mess up. And we confess our sin. No, we mess up and we agree with God that was wrong. You see the difference? No, we think confession, you know, just all this down and out thing. Oh my God, I'm terrible. No, oh God, I know what you said. I agree with you. That is sin. I mean, you could use agree instead of confess. God, this morning, I agree with you. I shouldn't have talked to the kids this way. I'm just agreeing with you. That's confession. God is perfect. He's in the light. And when we agree with Him, we walk in the light because we agree. Amen? I mean, isn't that powerful? Forget this, you know, some view of this terrible thing of confession. It is literally just being, we are agreeing with God. See? And that's what we say. You're right. You're right. You're right. You just are. Now, we do that. So when we're walking in the light, we're agreeing with God who is light. Oh, God's in the light. If I could just get in the light and have Him shine upon me. No, if you agree with God, you will walk in light. And He is light. And I'm going to agree on each of these situations so I can walk with God in His light. And so that's what these things are saying. So when we look at it, and remember, we're totally forgiven at the cross. I'm not trying to take everybody, you know, we have a home in heaven. But what I want to see is that we need to confess daily as we stumble so that we can continue to grow with God by agreeing with Him. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. God, I agree with you that sin. Help me overcome that. Be my teacher. So we're constantly, as we agree with God, we're constantly being taught, we're constantly growing closer to the Lord in His light. And there is no condemnation and there's no burden. I have no sin. You lie. You don't even know the truth. This sin doesn't make any difference. Do what I want to. You're lying. You know, you need to agree with God. See, you're lying because, oh, another verse I didn't read said you make Him out a liar. You make God out a liar. You're saying, no, that's not sin. So you say, God, you're a liar. In the light, you say that's light, but I don't believe that. You're a liar. You know, it's confess. I really do believe it'd be a benefit if you use confess just to agree. I agree with God. That was, oh, Lord. I agree with you. It's constant growth. Constant. No one should carry anything. Nobody. Anybody that carries. Now, this, I mean, I know there's all sorts of things in people's life, but anybody who is carrying something, they're carrying something because they're not agreeing with God about what that something is. So they keep it. You know? You see what I'm saying? So this is really powerful. And it really ties in, I go back, to communion. And I was joking about this young man, but he was really concerned about you all because I didn't give you an opportunity to cleanse your heart. He says, you're bringing these people. He blamed me. He says, you're bringing these people under judgment. I go, not either. but with the thing of it, he's like 18 years old or something. But what the point of it is, when you see it communion, it says cleanse your heart before you take communion. Well, God, all this, I don't confess this to you, my heart pure, that I can just have a pure communion with you with no evil on my heart. I agree with you about this sin. You see? Like that. So anyway, I learned. Like I said, it took me, a year to share it, but anyway, he was dead on. But y'all with me here. So this verse is really powerful, and we really should walk in it, but use confess is agree. You're agreeing with God. That's it. I shouldn't do that, because God said it was that. It's not even with you and the other individual. It's just you and God. Walking with God, learning more about Him, asking Him to change you, asking Him to give you strength, asking Him to work with you. And you're agreeing with Him the whole way. Amen? So it's really powerful here. Now, we have we all stumble. We all stumble. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Here's the verse I was looking for. Those who say that we have not sinned, we're not doing anything wrong. 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. We don't agree with God. You know, it's like, well, it's you or God. It says you make, and who do you make a liar? It's God. And He's talking about us. You know, we're arguing about. That's not a good place to be, is to be calling God a liar. You know, God, I'm sorry. You're right. Cleanse me of that. Take that. You're agreeing. Otherwise, you're calling Him a liar. To walk in the light, we must agree with what God says by confessing our sin. The living Christ cares about us. Now, we have right here at this spot, everybody with me on this, we have at this spot a period in the Bible. Okay, it's a period. It stops here. But I really think this shouldn't stop here, because chapter 2, verse 2 is tied to this whole section. Chapter 2, verse 2 it ends more at chapter 2, verse 2 than right here, because we kind of end here and say, okay, we're not going to call God a liar and say His word's not in us and we've not sinned, you know. But look how it ends. Everybody just process what we talk about. Agreeing with God, confessing our sins, agreeing that we've done wrong, asking God to cleanse us, you know. And He's faithful and just and forgive us. Now He puts the unbelievable explanation point behind this whole thing. Look at 1 John 2:2. Now look at this. If anyone does sin. Okay, do we have a hand raise? Y'all right now, who's going to sin? You know, I'll never sin. Okay, when you violated that other verse, you're really in trouble. You know, but no, we know we mess up. And He says, okay, I know, I put you in a spot and said, okay. But when you do sin, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Now look what we've done. We've walked in and stumbled or something, kicked the dog, hollered at the kids, or whatever we're carrying. You know, we walked in and so we say, dear God, I confess, I agree with you, that's sin. Amen? Look what happens in heaven. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is with the Father, and He is our advocate. He is the one who speaks in our defense. We have Jesus, the advocate, who speaks in our defense. God, I kicked the dog and hollered at the kids. I agree with you, that is sin. And the advocate, Jesus, before the Father says, I've died for all those sins. You forgive Him. You take care of Him. What? What? You're carrying this garbage around on your back? Guys, I paid for it. Jesus said before the... Just agree with me it was sin, and I'll tell the Father, forgive you. It'll be removed. He is standing in our defense. Jesus is standing in our defense before God. He is the advocate with the Father. And he's a good advocate, you know, because the next word he says, his propitiation for our sins. I love propitiation. I love that word. I've talked about it before. And it can mean expiation, atonement. You're just going on and on, you know. And it's probably nothing you hear around the office or home or anything like that. But it's a great, great word, okay? And it means, I'm just going to summarize it and not give you all this. It means he totally takes away and removes and throws sin away and washes it away like it never existed. He's our propitiation. He's our advocate, saying, I paid for that. He's forgiven. Then he's our, Jesus, our propitiation, where he scrapes off the hunk of sin and throws it away, washes us white, and it never seen again. That's the end. That's the end. Amen? That he's our advocate. No, he's not, oh, look like Wallace did again. I told you, good grief. You know, no, advocate, I paid for that. I paid for that. He's clean. I'm Jesus speaking in my defense. It's paid. And not only that, I wiped him clean with my blood. That sin is completely removed and cast into the sea. He's white as snow. When does that happen? When does it happen? What do you have to do to receive it in your daily life? What do you have to do? Confess. That's it. Just confess. And that's the reason that 1:9 is such a great verse, because he tells you, listen, these people are telling you this, what's happening, don't do that. But I'm not like that. But what you have to do to engage me is confess. Agree with me, and your advocate, Jesus, will take up for you and say, God, I paid his sins. He is forgiven. Not only that, with my personal blood, I've wiped him clean. He's as white as snow. I'm his propitiation. I'm his advocate. I'm his propitiation. Two really, really great words that in our daily lives come from confess. Confess. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. That is so stinking powerful. And so we want to look at this. See, and when Jesus removes sin, and this is something we can't understand, when he removes sin, he wipes it away like it never existed. It's not in remembrance. He wipes it away like never existed. Like you keep, this is a parable kind of, it's like you just can keep confessing the same sin over and over. Jesus goes, good grief, I wiped that away last time. Well, you keep it bringing it to my mind. I forgot about it. You're the one remembering it. I forgot about it. It's clean. It's wiped away. It's gone. See? And so that's what he's saying here. So Jesus is our advocate. Advocate. Now, so here you have the answer to the whole thing. How do you walk in light? Confess. Agree with God. You walk in the light. I mean, that sounds ominous. No, you walk in light by confess. But let's use our word. The literal word is agree. I agree with God. I agree with God. See? And that's immediate, wherever you are, at the time you're doing it. You're driving down the road, you're at work, wherever. Oh, God, I agree with you. I shouldn't have done that. And it says, it's wiped away and cast, never to be seen again. But he also works empowerment through that. We leave room for him to work. Amen? So hallelujah with 1 John. Amen. We better off this morning. We better off. That's huge. That is huge what it said. We have an advocate. We have an advocate. We don't have a judge. We have an advocate. An advocate that wiped away our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and Thank you for your praise. And so, Lord, we thank you for the word that, I mean, I'm sure you've told us this other places, but just when you work it in different ways, it's so powerful. And God, we thank you for that. And we thank you that we look to you and we are forgiven for all things and have a home with you. But day by day, we can cry out to you and just agree with you in what you say. And we continue to grow. And as we agree, you continue to take care of those things that are burdening us down, opening the ways for us to go. You continue to work in a mighty way. And so we thank you for that. And you're just teaching us. Just teaching us how you do that. And you're also teaching us for anyone who would bring into your body lies about you, lies about lifestyle, lies about the things of the world, that we can stand strong and say, no, God, we confess your truth, your light, and we'll see you take care of the situations around us. So we thank you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.